What does God want? You know, in answering that question, in one sense, we could start in the beginning of Genesis and move all the way through the end of Revelation. And we can talk about hundreds of things. What does God want? However, as we walk our way through Scripture, I think we may see some overarching things, some principles that God gives us. He says, look, this is what I want. And that's what I want to share with us this morning. What does God want? And as we walk through Scripture, I think first and foremost, what we are going to discover is God wants what's first. God wants what's first. I want us to notice that and recognize from Scripture. If you're a guest here today, we're going to be moving quickly through the Scriptures. I'm not going to be able to give you all the page numbers like I try to do oftentimes, but I'm going to put all the Scriptures up on the screen because we're going to be bouncing around a little bit because I want us to see this theme throughout Scripture. God wants what's first. Would you bow with me in prayer, please? Glorious God in heaven, you are indeed holy. You are the holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. And we come before your throne this morning in awe of you. And even as we know that some of our brothers and sisters right now are in pain this week and mourning loss, we know there is also at the same time joy. Because death is not the end for your children. It is the transition. It is the move to be around your throne, to bring glory and honor to you for all eternity because of the sacrifice that you have made by sending your firstborn to die for our sins and to be raised to be king. And Father, what we know you have given for us is your first. And because of that, we can sing holy, holy, holy. And while we shed tears for our brothers and sisters, we also lift up praise because we know that we are looking forward to being with you for all eternity. You have given us your first. And so this morning, Father, we offer you what is our first. And we pray that you would give us insight and understanding and conviction and motivation to bring to you what is first. Not merely because you've asked it, but even if you hadn't asked, Father, we know it's what you deserve. And so we pray that you would give us the strength and the courage that we will not lose heart, but that we will bring ourselves to you, giving you all because you have given your all. You are holy, our Lord and God. Help us today to become a little bit more like you by what we study. We love you so much, Father. We thank you for loving us first. It's through your Son, Jesus, that we pray these things. Amen. The reality is, it's all over the Scripture that what God wants is what is first. We come in contact with this first in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 4. In Genesis chapter 4 and verse 4, it says, "And Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering." Here, in this passage, with the very first sacrifice that we witness, a for sure sacrifice, we recognize that a part of this sacrifice was the firstborn. And that sets the stage for what we're going to see so often over and over and over again. What does God want? God wants what is first. We're going to find this with Israel when they were coming into the land and they were planting and they were sowing. They were going to have these feasts, and what they were supposed to bring to God was the first fruits of the land. We see this in Exodus chapter 23 and verse 16. He says, "You shall keep the feast of harvest of the first fruits of your labor, of what you sow in the field." When they brought their harvest in, it wasn't, "Oh, get your food, take what's yours first, and then bring it." So you bring the first fruits to me. And then in verse 19 of the same chapter, "The best of the first fruits of your ground you shall bring into the house of the Lord your God." It's not just the first, it's the best. The best and the first. The first fruits. We find in Leviticus chapter 2 and verse 14, "If you offer a grain offering of first fruits to the Lord, you shall offer for the grain offering of your first fruits, fresh ears roasted with fire, crushed new grain." What was the offering supposed to be? First fruits. And then in Deuteronomy chapter 26, verses 1 and 2, "When you come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you for an inheritance and have taken possession of it and live in it, you shall take some of the first of all the fruit of the ground, which you harvest from your land that the Lord your God is giving you, and you shall put it in a basket, and you shall go to the place that the Lord your God will choose to make his name to dwell there." And he goes on and describes this offering of first fruits. But it wasn't just go harvest and what you pluck first, take that to the Lord. They were going to take what they had harvested. They were going to pluck that. They were going to put it in a basket. They were going to take that to the Lord. But then there was going to be the amount that they made into dough that was supposed to be bread. And you want to know what they were supposed to do with that? Well, the first of it, according to Numbers 15, verses 20 through 21, "Of the first of your dough, you shall present a loaf as a contribution, like a contribution from the threshing floor. So shall you present it. Some of the first of your dough you shall give to the Lord as a contribution throughout your generations." So you're going to bring the first of the fruits, but then when you make your first loaf of bread, that's actually God's. Take that one to God. But of course, what we are probably most familiar with is the idea of the firstborn. The firstborn. In Exodus chapter 13 and verse 2, "Because of the Passover, consecrate to me all the firstborn. Whatever is the first to open the womb among the people of Israel, both of man and beast, is mine." What did God want? God wants what's first. He says, "You take your firstborn and you consecrate your firstborn to me." In Numbers chapter 3, this is described even more. "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Behold, I have taken the Levites from among the people of Israel instead of every firstborn who opens the womb among the people of Israel. The Levites shall be mine, for all the firstborn are mine. On the day that I struck down the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I consecrated for my own all the firstborn in Israel, both of man and of beast. They shall be mine. I am the Lord.'" What God says is, look, in Egypt, when I struck down the firstborn, your firstborn deserved it too. But I didn't strike them down. Instead, I made them mine. But here, I'll cut a deal with you. Rather than you sending your firstborn to work in my temple, I will make an exchange. Because the firstborn are mine. I get them. But what I will do is I will take the Levites in exchange. Because you owe me your firstborn. Now, later in the chapter, we find out that there weren't quite as many Levites as there were firstborn. So then they had to redeem the firstborn with a financial contribution. But what does he say? He says, "I want what is first. The first is mine." This was so ingrained in Israel that after they had gone through the captivity and they come back to the land of Israel, and the temple has been rebuilt and the wall has been rebuilt, they gather together and they make a covenant before God in Nehemiah chapter 10, beginning at verse 35. And here's what they say: "We obligate ourselves to bring the first fruits of our ground and the first fruits of all the fruit of every tree year by year to the house of the Lord. Also to bring to the house of our God, to the priests who minister in the house of our God, the firstborn of our sons and of our cattle, as it is written in the law, and the firstborn of our herds and of our flocks, and to bring the first of our dough and our contributions, the fruit of every tree, the wine and the oil, to the priests, to the chambers of the house of our God." Even the folks under Nehemiah understood, what does God want? God wants what's first. And he's brought us back into this land and he's redeemed us from our captivity, and we are going to covenant with our God that that is exactly what we're going to bring to him and what we're going to give to him. We are going to give him our first. In Proverbs, in the wisdom literature, in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9, "Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce." not take care of your house payment and take care of your car payment and take care of your boat payment and take care of all these other things that you have and then honor the Lord with whatever you have left over. He says, but the first fruits, take that first. Honor God with that. God wants what is first. And so it shouldn't surprise us when we come into the new covenant. And we find Jesus, our Savior and King, teaching. And in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, he says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So many things that we seek after, and so many things that we want, and so many things that we try to reserve to ourselves and make sure that we are taken care of. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to make sure that I am taken care of and my family is taken care of. And once that is done, and if there's enough left over, then I will take care of seeking the Lord and his kingdom. But Jesus says, no, seek God and his kingdom first. Seek God and his kingdom and his righteousness first. And then all these things will be added to you. He'll care for you. He will take care of you. And we find that Jesus, as he went around teaching and he called disciples to himself, he would say to them at times, as he did in Luke chapter 9, verse 59, follow me. But one of them said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Yet another said, I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home. And Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Here were those that said, I want to follow you, Jesus, but first I want to take care of this. And Jesus said, it doesn't work like that. Why? Because what God wants is our first. He wants our first effort. He wants our first words. He wants our first actions. He wants our first love. He wants our first devotion. He wants our first commitment. God wants what is first, what is fundamental, what is foundational. God wants that. Don't put something else first. God wants what's first. But we need to understand something about this. Because I tell you what, it's not just that God wants the first part of our paycheck. It's not that God wants the first part of our day or even the first day of our week. It's not just that God wants our first words and our first love and our first commitment and our first devotion. We need to understand about this that God has made us the first. And what God wants is us. We think about this in that old covenant context, and we think about Israel, and we recognize, for instance, in Exodus chapter 4, verses 22 through 23, I know that it sounds awfully harsh that God, in that final plague, took the firstborn, but God explained what was going to happen to Pharaoh, and here's what he said. You shall say to Pharaoh, Exodus 4, 22 through 23, thus says the Lord, Israel is my firstborn son, and I say to you, let my son go that he may serve me. If you refuse to let him go, behold, I will kill your firstborn son. And of course, you may remember that Pharaoh had been killing the children of Israel when they gave birth. God says, look, let my firstborn son go. What was he saying about Israel? Israel is the firstborn. He didn't just want Israel's first. He wanted Israel because Israel was his first. Not only here are they called the firstborn, but in Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 3, listen to how God describes Israel there. In Jeremiah 2 and verse 3, Israel was holy to the Lord, the first fruits of his harvest. All who ate of it incurred guilt. Disaster came upon them, declares the Lord. That's talking about Egypt. It's talking about the nations around them. He says, this is my first fruits, and if you ate of it, that was mine. They were mine. And anybody else who decided to eat of my first fruits, God says, you were going to incur guilt. Why? Because Israel was the firstborn. Israel was the first fruits. We recognize, of course, today Jesus has died and been buried and been resurrected, and a new covenant has been established, and a new people has been purchased, bringing Gentiles and Jews together into one body, into one temple, a dwelling place for the Lord. And so circumcision does not count for anything now. It's not about being children of Abraham. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 28 through 29, there's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither slave nor free, there's no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. We recognize that there's this new people of God that has been purchased that was always God's plan. And in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 16, they're described this way. And as for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. That's the church that belongs to Jesus Christ. Guys, that's us. The Israel of God, the offspring of Abraham, according to the promise, that's us. If the Israel, the offspring of Abraham, according to the flesh, were the firstborn and the firstfruits, how much more are we the firstborn and the firstfruits, in fact? In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, here's how we're described by Paul. But we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the firstfruits to be saved through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. He's using this idea of first fruits in that metaphorical way. The folks in Thessalonica were not the first people to believe, so he's not talking about that. He's talking about Christians. What are we? We are the first fruits. And then in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 22 through 23, as he gives this wonderful picture paralleling the church with what happened on Mount Sinai, he says that we haven't come to Mount Sinai, we've come to Mount Zion, but he says you have come to the assembly or church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven. Now I know when we look at that, we think, oh, well, but that's Jesus. The firstborn there, that's Jesus, the church of Jesus. I know this is your favorite part of any sermon I preach, a grammar lesson. We're all looking forward to that, right? Do you notice that word are, A-R-E? That's the plural. That's the plural verb. If it had actually referred to Jesus, it would have been, you have come to the assembly of the firstborn who is enrolled in heaven. But what he says is, you have come to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven. Do you understand what he's saying about every single one of us? We are the firstborn. We are the first. Do you understand what that means then for us? What that means for us is not just that God wants our first. It is that we are the first, and what God wants is us. Every bit of us. Not just the first day of our week, but our week, because we are His. Not just the first part of our day, but our day, because we are His first. Not just the first bit of our money, because all of it belongs to Him, because we are His. God wants what's first, and we are His first. And we need to understand this. We will lose what we put before God. We will lose what we put before God. This is a high calling. I get it. It's a sacrifice. It's a struggle. There are a lot of things that I want. There are a lot of things that I want to say. I want to pursue this, like those would-be disciples that Jesus called and they said, I will follow you, but first, let me go here. First, let me do that. Lord, I will give myself to you. I will hand everything over to you, but first, I've got to take care of my family. First, I've got to take care of my career. First, got to take care of my retirement. First, I mean, Lord, you don't expect me to have no fun in this life, right? I'm gonna give it all to you, but first. What we need to understand is everything we put before God, we're going to eventually lose. Jesus went into the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. As they went on their way, Jesus entered a village and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha. You are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Now listen to this next sentence. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. Do you understand the implication of that sentence? The implication is, Martha, you have not chosen the good portion, and that will be taken away. See, there's one thing that's necessary. What's that one thing? I'll tell you what it is. It's Jesus. And Mary in this moment was making the right choice. Martha wasn't a bad person. Martha did some great things. We shouldn't let this be the defining thing we think of her. I understand that. But in this moment, Jesus says, Mary has chosen the good part, and that will not be taken away from her. Whatever else we decide to pursue before God, finances, family, love, romance, health, wealth, fitness, friends, everything that we put before God, we're going to lose it. We're going to lose it. I think about Mary in this situation. And she's running around serving and getting the house together. You guys ever cleaned house? What happens next? It just gets dirty again, doesn't it? I mean, here's this thing that she's putting first. It's just going to go away anyway. But you know, even if she was able to clean the house and it was able to stay clean permanently, and she's able to make the preparations, they were able to stay permanently, where's Mary's house now? It's gone. We don't know where Mary's. I mean, look, I have no doubt. And some folks who've been over to the Holy Lands can say, oh, yes, Mary and Martha's house right here. And somebody else is saying, oh, yes, Mary and Martha's house right here. And here's a timber from it. It'll only cost you $5. I'm sure somebody can do that. But let's face it, Mary and Martha's house isn't there anymore. But even if it was, even if it could stand the test of time, there's going to come a day when this world is going to burn up. And you know what happens to that house? It burns up. And the only thing that continues on through that is our relationship with God. And God says He wants what's first. And brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors, anything you put before Him, anything that you say, yes, God, I'll give everything to you but this. Yes, God, I'll give everything to you but after this. All of that stuff. You can put all your effort into that. You can reserve a part of yourself for that. I promise you, you are going to lose that. And so, in Luke chapter 9 and verse 24, it said, for whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. Anything that you put before God, you're going to lose it anyway. You're going to lose it anyway. God wants what's first. We'll lose whatever else we put before Him. And I get it. There's a part of us that's saying, you know what? That's pretty tough. I don't know if I want to serve a God who demands that much. That's just kind of harsh. But I hope what we can understand. You know, there were times when I was a kid, my dad would say, Edwin, you need to do this. And I'd say, yeah, but Dad, remember when you did this? And he would say, do as I say, not as I do. That's a terrible, awful thing to say, except for now I'm a parent and I understand why he said it. It's not because he was a hypocrite. It's because he was a struggling, growing Christian just like I am. He knew the right thing and sometimes he didn't do it. And he was pointing out that there is a right thing, and just because I fail sometimes doesn't mean you're allowed to go ahead and fail. So I get it now. But we serve a God who has never had to say that. We serve a God who is not a hypocrite, but neither is He weak. He is not one who has had to say, here's my law, but I can't live up to it. He's not one that said, here's what I ask, but I don't do it. For God, when He says, I want what's first, He gets to say that. Do you know why? Because God gave His first. God gave His first. And so we find in 1 Corinthians 15:20, as he talks about Jesus Christ. In fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Jesus is the first fruits, and God gave Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 6. And again, when he brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all God's angels worship him. And here, the firstborn is Jesus. He's the firstborn, and that's who he gave. In Romans 8:29, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. He gave the first. But we need to understand that when he gave his firstborn, the first fruits, when Jesus, God the Son, came into the world, God was really giving himself. As hard as that is for us to grasp, but in Colossians 1, 19 through 20, for in him, that is in Jesus Christ, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. Everything that is divine dwelt in Jesus. And through him, through Jesus, to reconcile to himself God all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. In the person of Jesus, God the Son, the one God of the universe, came into the world and gave himself. He gave all. And he did that for you and for me. God gave his first. And so it is not too much for him to say, I want what's first. And so my question for you this morning is, what are you giving to God? If you'd like, you can put your Bibles and notes away, pull out your songbooks. If you'd like to follow along in a songbook, the words will be up on the screen behind me. I get it. It's not a mathematical equation. God sent his firstborn to make us the assembly of his firstborn. It's metaphorical. It's figurative. I get that if we try to make that work legally, and that's a hard thing to do. But let me tell you what the cool thing about being the firstborn is. That passage in Hebrews where it talks about us being the assembly of the firstborn, here's why it's saying that. Is that during the time the Bible was written, the firstborn received a double part of the inheritance. And so if someone had four children, they didn't divide up the inheritance four ways. They divided it up five ways, and they gave two of those portions to the firstborn. Hot dog. I'm a firstborn. That'd be super cool. What he's saying is, though, that we have a Father who is so amazing that when we receive our inheritance, it's like every single one of us gets a double portion. And again, I understand mathematically it doesn't work. If everybody's getting a double portion, everybody's getting the same thing. And so it's not math. It's just how amazing our inheritance is. It's just so amazing that when we realize it and fully grasp it, we're sitting there being amazed. How did I get this much? This is like twice as much as I should get. All of us get that. That's the inheritance that Jesus purchased for us when God gave his first. And so now my next question for you. Are you ready to give yourself to him? Jesus said, he that believes and is baptized will be saved. But guys, that's not just, hey, let me walk through a couple of rituals and now I'm good and I'll just go on about my merry way. That's, I am surrendering to King Jesus. I am bringing myself, giving my allegiance to Him, my loyalty. And I'm giving Him what's first. And I'm giving Him me. Because He gave me Himself. Have you done that? Because if not, we want to help you this morning. Give your first to the Lord. We'd love to help you enter Jesus Christ, becoming one of those firstborn. Put your faith in Jesus. Turn away from leading your own life. Confess your faith in Him and be baptized, immersed in water, so that you can be raised to walk in a new life. If we can help you with that this morning, please come forward right now as we stand and sing this song.